Well, we're going to start in a different section of dealing with the Holy Spirit tonight, and we'll see how far we get. I guess that's not the most professional way, floating a boat out on the water somewhere. That doesn't sound too professional, does it, Brother Gary? All right. He was in a massive ship, and he was going across the great waters. All right. Is that better? Yeah, a little bit better. All right, good. All right. Take your Bibles. Well, we'll get to that in a moment. I tell you what, let's do. What we're going to do, we probably won't get to it tonight. This is really finishing up where we were before. And we're just going to do it's going to be kind of a no-brainer once I introduce what we're doing. And what we're going to look is at a number of verses. We've been talking about what all the ministries are of the Holy Spirit. Been doing that now for several Wednesday nights. And he intercedes and he guides and he leads and those kinds of things. But what I'm going to do is, if you would be willing to read a verse, and then the rest of us are going to decide one of two things, the divine element in that verse, the divine element, what God does, what the Holy Spirit does, and then that's the divine element, and then the human element. Okay, so if the Holy Spirit is doing this, then what are we to do in response, knowing what the Holy Spirit is about and what he is doing, okay? So, I'll need some volunteers to read. Who would read for me, please? John 14, verses 16 and 17. Okay, Ms. Corallo, all right. Romans 8, 16, all right. Let's see. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, back on this side, all right. Back on the other side, John 16, 13. Yes, ma'am. All right. And then let's see. I'm going to skip by that one. 1 Corinthians 6 and verses 11 and 12. 1 Corinthians 6, 11 and 12. Okay. You want to? Okay. All right. And then Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 22 over here. Yes, sir. All right. So when you listen to this, okay, ask yourself, we're going to do the rest of it as a congregation. What would be the divine element? What is it the Holy Spirit is doing, or is just what is the Holy Spirit chronicled in or journaled in that particular verse as being active? Then once we know what he's doing, what's our responsibility? What should we undertake because of what the Holy Spirit? He's doing something, and when the Holy Spirit's doing something, it's for a reason. Okay, it's for a reason. Just like our sister said a moment ago about the offerings. Okay, so let's see, John 14, verses 16 and 17. Who has that?
And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
Okay, so the subject matter of what she's talking about is he is a comforter. He is abiding with us forever, okay? And he is going to, what was the last part of it, sister?
For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
He shall dwell with you and be in you, all right? So if that's what the Holy Spirit's doing, what's our responsibility in that? He's the comforter, called the comforter. And he's going to be with us forever. So what would be our responsibility? Yes, ma'am. Oh, I thought you raised your hand.
To accept him.
I'm sorry?
To accept him.
To accept him, that would be very true, yes. All right, something else I'm looking for. Pay attention to it, very good. Brother Jesse?
Be careful not to grieve him.
Be careful not to grieve him. Okay? So if you package these three together, okay, let's see. She said, what'd you say, sweetheart? Pay attention to him. Accept him.
Avoid grieving him.
Avoid grieving him. If you package those three together, let's see if we can say it in one word that begins with the letter T. Trust. Very good. That's what he's saying. It's the same thing Jesus said. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He just told his disciples he's going to go away. He says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. And he's going, the Holy Spirit's going to abide with you forever. Okay, very good, very good. All right, who has Romans 8:16? Romans 8:16. All right, yes, ma'am. You got a microphone coming here.
Thank you. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Okay, very good. All right, so if the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, what would be our responsibility in that? What do you think? I'm sorry?
Be in tune
to the Spirit. And Brother Carell, well, thank you. We're going to just exercise a couple of guys because that does help. All right? But be in tune to the Spirit. All right? Let's take that another step. What else could we do? Yes, ma'am. Oh, be obedient children. Okay. All right. All right. One more. Let's keep going. Just a little bit more. If we know that he confirms our salvation, what should that do for us? Yes, sir.
Assurance of salvation.
Assurance of salvation. In other words, because we have assurance, because he's going to abide with us forever and his spirit's going to bear witness with our spirit, we can have what? Confidence. We can go as these individuals said, that, you know, by all rights, I shouldn't be here. And yet, when they're in those settings, and Miss Mary, when she felt that she was something was going on, she didn't cry out to to the next door neighbor necessarily, because she probably couldn't have heard her. She couldn't cry out over here, but she had a confidence. It was not just, okay, I've got a habit of saying, God help me. Okay, there's a lot of people who take the Lord's name in vain just by repetition, don't they? Oh my, and they say God's name, right? Okay, well, that's not what she was doing. She had a confidence that her heavenly Father could come to her aid. Okay, and the word in the Bible, especially in the book of Hebrews for that, is succor, S-U-C-C-O-U-R. Succor means to come to the aid of. Okay, so praise the Lord for that. So his responsibility, or what he's doing, is to confirm we belong to him. His confirmation, when the devil says, you know you're not saved, you know that you've crossed the line, or did you really mean it when you asked Jesus to save you? And reviewing what you did to get saved in your mind, yes, I did, and I called on the name of the Lord. And so I can have confidence in with the Lord. So the divine element, the human element. Let's just do three or four or five more. John 16:13. Who has that for us? Yes, ma'am.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
All right. Would you mind repeating the first, just the first, maybe 10 words, please?
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come.
Next phrase, please.
He will guide you into all truth.
Very good. All right. I think I just gave it away. All right. So what is the Holy Spirit going to do? Whoa, what a bright group we have tonight. That's good. All right. So if that's the divine element, what would be the human element? What would be our responsibility? If he guides me into all truth, what's my responsibility? That's it. Follow, or just simply obey, right? And how many times is he guiding us into truth and we're not paying attention? At least I get that way. I just kind of shoot from the hip sometimes. It's an old Western expression. I grew up in Arizona, so it's just kind of a, okay, well, I know how to do this. But there's something in my heart that is leading me in a direction of holiness or righteousness or the accomplishment of God's will. And maybe I just have a preference because this is not so difficult going my way. Or it's not going to make me be humble to go this way. Or it's not. But when he's guiding me into all truth, this is biblical. This is right. This is the way to go, Randy. When I know, then I need to obey. Very good. Very good. All right. Let's go to Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6, 1. And who has that? Okay, if you will, please.
1 Corinthians what?
You said 1 Corinthians 6, 1?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Dear any of you having a matter against others, go to thy before the just and not before the saints.
Very good. That's it. That's it. 1 Corinthians 6, 1. And it talks about taking a matter against a brother to law and all of that. And then I failed. It was my fault. I failed to give you the rest of it. It's verse number 12. Verse number 12. And this is a great passage of scripture, but it doesn't have anything to do with what I'm asking. All right.
Okay.
1 Corinthians 6.
All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Thank you. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any.
Amen. Amen. What a blessing. And what she's talking about there is what, in reading the word, is reminding us of how God wants us to live in Christian liberty. But even in Christian liberty, we have that God gives us a divine opportunity, but we have a divine responsibility to live according to the word of God. And also to understand that in my liberty, if I am trespassing and sinning against a brother, then even though God may in some setting say what you're doing or what that attitude, whatever it is okay, but in another setting where it's offending a brother, then I have a responsibility. My responsibility in that setting is to withdraw my liberty at that time in order to not offend a brother. Very good. Thank you, sister, for that. All right, let's do one last, and that'd be Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22. Who has that? Right there. 2:22. Chapter 2 and verse 22, if you would, please.
In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit.
Okay, and go ahead and do verse 23, if you will, please. There is no verse 23?
No.
Okay, don't do verse 23 then. How about verse 21, all right? That doesn't get all the context in there. So if you'll do 20, let's don't add to the scripture. That's not good. All right.
What was that again?
Verse 21, please.
Verse 21, okay. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple of the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit.
Okay, so the context there is dealing with different ones are a part of the ministry of God. Brother Chris has a place in the work of God, and sister here, and brother back there, and over here, and I have a place, and those things are to fitly join together. I think I mentioned in a message a week or so ago. It's talking about a joint that fits. It's not just a rough lumber that's kind of put up, and if it's a 16th off, it's okay. If it's a 64th off, it's okay. No, it's got to be right up next to each other. They got to butt up next to each other to where it's a joint that's going to be secure for many, many years to come. And that's what he's talking about in that text of the scripture, is that where the Spirit of God works in our lives, that we are to be joined together in that way. So if we're to be joined together, that's the divine element as guided by the Holy Spirit and taught us by the Holy Spirit, then what's our responsibility? I probably just waxed an elephant there, but the point is, God has something for each one of us to do. The Bible says severally as he willeth. So God has a place for Brother Gary. God has a place for Brother Joshua, for Brother Jordan. He's got a place for Ms. Matthew, just for each one of us. So if he has a place designed specifically, uniquely for me, then what's my responsibility? Let's figure it out. That's right. To pray and ask God, what is it you want me to do? And then once he shows me, whether it's to witness to my neighbor in that particular setting, or to work on a ship that goes from port to port to port in rescue, but the real means is the real reason is not just a rescue because of a hurricane or whatever, but it's really to rescue the perishing and care for the dying, if I understand it correctly. Okay, so if that's what the Lord says to do, then my responsibility is to what? Yeah, that's right, to obey. All right. All my notes went flying. Okay, to obey. All right, so I wanted to finish up that section. We still have some time left. Yes, ma'am. Did somebody? Oh, she did. Boy, I am just going all over the place. All right, so if you'll give me 1 Peter 1, 2. Please. There it is. I see it now.
To the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied.
Okay. Would you please read that first section? It's immediately dealing with the Spirit.
To the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit.
Okay. There we go. Through sanctification of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a 30-cent word. It's a long word. It's kind of, we don't use it in our everyday language. What does sanctification have in mind? What, when you think sanctification, what's going on? It's what?
Set apart,
okay.
Cleansing.
I'm sorry?
Cleansing.
Cleansing, very good. All right. Ephesians talks about that. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it. Cleansing, set apart, that he might sanctify it by the washing of the water of the word. The word washing there has the idea of free-flowing water. That he might sanctify it by the washing of the word. Now, would you, with that in mind, when you think of sanctification now, would you please read it one more time? Just go ahead and read the whole thing. That'd be fine.
To the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied.
So the first part is talking about God knows who's going to be saved. He says through the foreknowledge of God. Foreknowledge and predestination are two completely different words. They're not even close. All right, so by the foreknowledge of God, he knew that we'd be saved. And then he talks about by the, is it says sprinkling of the Spirit?
Sprinkling of the blood.
Sprinkling of the blood. And then what about the Spirit?
Sanctification of the Spirit.
And the sanctification of the Spirit. So when he's doing all of that for us, then understand that he's doing that cleansing. He's doing that setting apart. Then what is our responsibility as a child of God? Obey him? What else? There's a lot of good answers. We can go on for quite a while with good answers.
Read his word.
Very good. Okay. Knowing that that's his ambition. God knew ahead of time that Miss Gretchen would get saved. And when he knew ahead of time that Gretchen would be saved, he predetermined that the way that she would be saved, the plan of salvation, would be the cleansing and the setting apart of her by the Holy Spirit of God. So if Miss Gretchen knows now as a child of God that that's what God knew, and when God knew that she would get saved, he planned that salvation so that she could be saved, and because of the blood of Christ. So what should be Miss Gretchen's philosophy about being a child of God? What do you think? What do you think, Miss Gretchen? Do you have that basically wraps it up. to act like one, okay? And how can we act like one? Loving the Word of God. Obeying what we know is the Word of God. Forgiving. Being forgiven. So many different things. So this was just kind of a brief conclusion or summary of all the various personalities or aspects of the personality of the Holy Spirit. And as you and I think about that, and then we say, okay, if he's done all that for me, and we had one thing after another, after another, after another, after another, then if I know that's what he does, then what's my responsibility? Is it to be like a little child coming down the stairs Christmas morning, and under the tree there's this bright package, and that one's got a different wrapping on it, and oh, this one has my name on it, and that one has my name on it. Oh, goody, goody, and I get to wear that to school, or I get to play with that in the backyard, or I get to eat that for supper, or whatever it is. Is that what it's all about? Well, praise the Lord. We have things that have been done for us that we couldn't do ourselves in being saved, obviously. But there's so much more. And the Holy Spirit is the one who walks with you, who lives with you. He's in your heart as you go home tonight, as you go to work or around the house tomorrow. And he wants us to fully understand when he's guiding us into all truth, when he's giving us the fact that his spirit bears witness with our spirit, we shouldn't stay on the mully grubs and say, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through this. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. But the Holy Spirit who guides me into truth, he's the one who confirms. He's the one who convicts me when I'm in sin, because he convicts of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So what a joy it is to know these various aspects of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Now what we're going to do is we're going to look at the types of the Holy Spirit. So this is going to go on for several Wednesday nights, but there's 9 different types. Now when you say type, Pastor Bray, what does that mean? Does that mean there's 9 different Holy Spirits? No. A type is, it's more than just a picture, so to speak, but it's to be a representation of what the Holy Spirit does. What makes up the Holy Spirit? Why? How can we know him and what he's doing for us? And so the Bible gives us at least 9 different types of what the Holy Spirit is. Okay, and so if you want to write these 9 down, some of you are taking notes. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you 9 things, and then I'm going to break it down into 4 categories. And then we're going to go one by one, and we're going to start with, the wind, but we'll get to that in a moment. So if you want to just jot all 9 down, and I did mine vertically, and so that then I could go back and put brackets around it, and it gives 4 different areas of life that if we're aware that this is what the Holy Spirit does in my life, this is going to be wonderful. As I pay attention, as I begin to even pray to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I need guidance today. Holy Spirit, I'm getting hammered with questions about even my salvation. Why am I? Was there ever a time when I accepted your son as my personal savior? Well, yes. I remember when I was 7 or 17 or 77. I remember when I got saved. Then why am I getting hammered with this? Well, it's not coming from the Lord. If I met his condition for salvation and threw myself on his mercy and called on him and repented of my sins, then that's not coming from the Lord. It's coming from my old flesh and the devil. Okay, so that's what we're doing. All right, so let me just give you all 9 in succession. The first one, the first type is he's referred to as the wind. The wind. Number 2, as fire. Wind and fire. And if you want to put a little bracket around that, it refers oftentimes to conviction. To conviction. In one way or another. And again, some of these can be used in other ways, but just kind of in a broad brush kind of a way. A lot of times it has to do with conviction, with sin, with some things like that. Okay? The wind and fire. And wind is also used in a different way, and we'll look at that from Peter. All right? The next one is oil. He's referred to as oil. And the next one is water. water. And the bracket I put around that one is ministry calling. Ministry calling. What is it what ministry is God calling you? To what ministry is God calling you? Now, we're not necessarily talking about being a pastor or a missionary or a youth pastor, but there's a ministry that God has for you. Okay? The third one is, that bracket is oil and water. You put those together, and there's two of those, all right? And then you have the dove. Okay, that's a type of the Holy Spirit. And, of course, you'll remember what's probably the one that comes to everybody's mind. At the baptism of Christ, that's right. The whole Trinity, all the Trinity was there. The Lord Jesus was being baptized. The Father said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit came upon the Lord as a dove, all right? Descended as a dove, okay? And then you have, he's referred to as the earnest, E-A-R-N-E-S-T. That's not the name of somebody that lives down the road from you. This is talking about, well, somebody help me out. What's it talking about? He's talking about an earnest. What is a surety? Oftentimes it's used as what? A kind of a down payment. We had people who have put a contract on our house, and so the realtor said, "Here's what I think they ought to have to put down." And so they wrote a check, and so they've risked that money so that if they back off, they walk away from it or whatever, then they lose that amount of money. It's called an earnest money or a down payment, whatever, but it's an earnest, all right? So the Holy Spirit is called the earnest. We're going to be looking at detail at all of these, all right? And then he is called the seal, S-E-A-L, the seal. Okay, you remember the vision that Daniel had and the seals and all of that. And so he's called the seal. And then the next one is clothing. Clothing, he refers to clothing. And then the last one we'll look at is he is referred to as a servant, as the servant. So let's go back to dove and earnest. And the category that I simply put on it is peace in turmoil. Peace in turmoil. Peace in turmoil. And then the last three, seal, clothing, and servant. And again, you could probably come up with better descriptions than these four that I've given them, but these are just the ones that I asked the Lord. Just what would kind of summarize these? And the last one would be assurance. Assurance. Now let's take our Bibles, let's all do it, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 5. Will you turn there with me, please? 1 Corinthians, chapter 5. I'm sorry, first chapter 2. I'm just fumbling around here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5 through 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5 through 14. Okay, and I'll get over there in just a second here. And let's just look at it. I'm going to read it kind of as a more rapid pace, not real fast, but just not just a stroll, okay, so that we kind of get the whole context together. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, beginning with verse number 5. And what I want you to notice in here is the multifaceted ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives as New Testament Christians. All right? So this has to do with your life, Brother Allen. Ms. Johnson, just every one of us in here, this has to do with our lives, all right? So here we go, beginning with verse number 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let me stop. How many of us need faith in our lives? How many of us need to live by faith? All of us, yes, all right? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. There is an earthly wisdom. You see that in the book of Galatians. And then there is a heavenly wisdom. He says here, we need the wisdom and the power of God. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or complete, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Okay, they're just people. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Aren't you glad for that? Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So in other words, there's a lot of things that go on in the world, and among us as Christians. And even before Christ came, there were those, what we called it last Sunday, the mysteries, the things that have yet to be revealed, that the people who weren't following Jehovah, they didn't have any clue, even if they read the prophets oftentimes. Even the prophets didn't know the full understanding of what they were writing because they were prophecies. But now he is saying to this New Testament group of believers there in the city of Corinth, he is saying, but God hath revealed to them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? That's just bringing us down to, well, that's logical. All right? So if I want to know what's going on in Randy Bray's life, then logically I can say, all right, let's see, what happened this last week? Okay? I had a light switch that didn't work. I think I mentioned this to you Sunday. And as Brother Gary and I were talking about it yesterday, he told me, he said, preacher, I'll tell you what happened. You basically welded that thing. All right. So I said to myself, after the spark went out, and it was not just a little 4th of July, little kind of thing with a sparkle. This is a thing that looked like the world was coming to an end. It went poof, like that. It didn't make poof, but it went like that. And I came back after I quickly withdrew my, and it looked like, oh, it's not straight anymore. And it's black. What's wrong with this thing? All right. So here's the point. How many more times did I do that again? Four. No, I didn't. All right. No, I didn't do that again. Why? Because there was a spirit within me. There was a part of me that was able to evaluate what was going on, and I was able, because I experienced it, it's within me, this is something I did, something that I could think through and evaluate and arrive at a conclusion that I'm not going to do that again, but rather I'm going to, number one, turn off my phone, and then number two, oh, that wasn't me, okay. So number two, that I would be able to say, I'm not going to do that again. All right, now think through that goofy illustration and let's listen to this again. Verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now here we go. Here's the illustration that I gave matched with this. For what man knoweth what things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? I know why I'm not going to do that again. I experienced it. This my thoughts, my will was all attached to that. All right, now, let's see what it says about him. Even so, in the same way, the things of God knoweth, what's the word, what's the next word? No man, all right? The things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Why does the Spirit of God know everything about God? Because he is God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Now there is a spirit of the world. But as the children of God, we're a brand new creation, Romans 5:8, right? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become what? New. You're right. They become new. Now, we've received not the spirit of the world. No, we've been delivered from that. But the Spirit which is of God. Why? Because he lives in us. We're not of our father, the devil. We're no longer indwelt in this old nature that's housed and is empowered by the devil, that would have sent us to the quarters of hell immediately upon death and into the lake of fire after the great white throne judgment. No, but what does he say? We've not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we, what's the next word? Oh, wait a minute. So it wasn't mine by nature. I may have been born. I wasn't. But let's say I wasn't born as an Einstein. He was. He was Einstein. Okay? I wasn't born with all kinds of artistic ability, even though there are probably those sitting in front of me tonight who are very skilled in that discipline. Okay? And I wasn't born with anything, any knowledge that the Holy Spirit has. I was absent of that because I was of my father, the devil. But at the very moment I came to the cross of Christ, and I said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and wash away my sins. And he made me a brand new person in Christ. Then immediately I was quickened, made alive by none other than the Holy Spirit. And notice what he says here, that the Spirit, it says, notice in verse 12, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God, or of God, which things also we what? Okay, now let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you communicated with someone else what God's shown you from the Word of God? How excited do you get when God gives you a nugget of truth in the morning or whenever it is that you can get into the Word of God? That's what Paul told Timothy, was it not? The things which you heard of me, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to commit those things to others. There's four generations there, Paul to Timothy, to other men who shall also be able to teach others also. And that's what he is saying here, which things also we speak, verse 13, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, no, but that which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's what we were talking about with when my sister said from Leviticus, of drilling down and saying, yes, I see what the Word of God says right up here, and it's called the milk of the Word. And some have defined the next layer down as kind of being the bread of the Word of God. The milk of the Word, you just absorb it, you drink it in, and it finds its place nutritionally to the body. But the bread of the Word of God, if we could say it like that it's bread and we can chew on it, and our digestive system begins to be activated to where it has to deal with semi-solid material, and it begins to take it apart and say, well, this needs to go to this part of the body, and this needs to go to the brain, and that needs to go to the toenail, and this needs to go here, and it's kind of the bread. But then as we continue to drill down some more, and we get into the meat of the Word, and we begin to chew on some of that, that takes a little more effort, and it's not just easily understood at a moment's notice, and we get in there, and okay, we better compare that with this scripture over here. That's what he says, comparing scripture with scripture. Oh, wait a minute, I see. When Peter says this, and Paul in a different way, Peter spoke like a fisherman, Paul spoke like an educator, and Luke spoke like a physician, but when I compare scripture with scripture, and it's all the same, it's just coming at it from different angles, oh, the riches of the Word of God. Well, he says something about, let's see, here it is, verse 13, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, I turned two pages, the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Let's go on to verse 14. But the natural man, the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can. Now, I've not looked that word up in the Greek. It's probably dunamis or a derivative of that. And it's used a lot of times. It's translated as power or ability. Here, neither can he know them. The word can there probably has that word in mind. I've not looked it up, but it has that idea in mind. There's no ability. He does not have the ability to know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned of the Spirit. So speaking of it as an adjective, they're spiritually discerned. Those things are spiritually discerned. What are they discerned from? The Spirit who teaches us. And he says the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, verse 13, teacheth, comparing spiritual things of the Spirit with spiritual things of the Spirit. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual, what's the word, next word? Judgeth how much? All things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What a glorious passage of Scripture. As we begin to start this new study of the Holy Spirit is like wind. The Holy Spirit is like oil that anoints. The Holy Spirit is like, well, all of these other seven. And as we embark on that, I believe you'll find that it will just be a rich study as you're growing in the Lord. I trust that it will. So with that in mind, we'll bring that to a conclusion for tonight, and we'll begin that, Lord willing, next Wednesday night. Next Wednesday night. All right. Very good. Prayer request that you would have, and I've gone over. Prayer request that you have for tonight. And I'm not saying that by way of boasting. I'm saying that by way of I went over, and I'm trying to get better at that.